Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you again, all these beautiful faces here at what some people call Butler Hill Church, but we know it's called First Unity. It was the first. And I was just reminded, as we were singing, I Behold the Christ in You, the very first time I walked into a Unity church was when you were on Bates. And it was that song and the peace song that I heard that first time I attended that just blew me away. So, brings back a lot of wonderful memories. Do you believe that you can change the world? Who believes that? We can make a difference. So hold on to that thought for a moment. Several weeks ago, my granddaughter, my youngest, Maggie, and I went on a grandmother-granddaughter trip to Washington, D.C. It was a wonderful trip, just spending one-on-one time with one of my grandkids. The most memorable part of that trip, aside from the wonderful company that I had, was a tour that we took one evening, and it was called a trolley tour to see the monuments by moonlight. Well, it was a beautiful time to see the monuments with all the light shining on them, and it was just dusk when we started. Well, we boarded the trolley and were excited to find out that not only did we have a trolley driver who was a tour guide, but also an historian. And he brought that night to life, adding color and substance as he spoke of all the monuments that we passed. But as we approached the Lincoln Memorial, he pulled the trolley over to the side of the street and said, "I'd like to tell you a little more about Abraham Lincoln, maybe that you don't know." He said, "I know you've all had American history, so a lot of this you'll know, but I'm going to add some color," he said. So he reminded us how the story started. Abraham's mother died when he was 9 years old, leaving he and his sister with a father who was usually emotionally absent. Well, sometime later, the father leaves for 6 months and leaves Abe and his sister to fence for themselves. And when he returns with a new wife and her three children. Well, the woman's name was Sarah. So Sarah started by making a lot of changes. First thing, she said, "We need a floor in this cabin." They'd been living on a dirt floor all those years. But the most important thing that she did was she looked at that young boy, Abraham, and she saw all the possibilities in him. She mentioned to his father, "This boy needs an education." And the father said, "We need working hands, not an education." But she supported Abraham. She gave him books. She encouraged him. She loved him. And he went to a school called a Blab school. Anyone ever heard of those? In the 1800s, they were pretty prominent. There weren't many people who could read, so you would have a schoolroom or an area like this, a church perhaps, where you'd have one person who could read. So they would read a story from a book, from the Bible, whatever, and then people would begin to repeat it over and over and over and over. Blabbing is what it was called, and that is how you would get a lot of your education, because you would retain that when you would blab it. And that's where that expression, blab, blah, 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 comes from, when you know someone who talks too much, and we hear that. That's where that originated. So all those years, Sarah encouraging and loving, supporting him. And of course we know, after a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of failures, that he did end up being the president that united the country. A president who is admired by almost everyone. You know, we can find former presidents and politicians today that not everyone can agree on. But I don't think I've ever met anyone that did not like Abraham Lincoln. If you did, we'll talk later. So what a difference he made. So with that, our driver started to pull away and he stopped again and he said, oh, one more thing I want to tell you. As you start walking up the steps to the Lincoln Memorial, and I know if you've not seen it in person, you've certainly seen pictures, you walk up these steps and there is this magnificent statue of Abraham Lincoln sitting in a chair. He said, as you start up the steps, when you get to a landing, look down and read what it says. And he shared that he had for decades walked over that landing and never knew there was anything there. So we got off the trolley and we started the long trip of steps up to the memorial and got to the landing and looked down and there it was. I Have a Dream, Dr. Martin Luther King, 1963. It was the very spot that Dr. King gave that speech. So after going up to the memorial and spending some time, and I started walking back to the trolley, and I thought, here on these steps, Dr. King stood, and he chose this place because of his admiration and love for Abraham Lincoln. And that how that woman, Sarah, had started this rippling effect because she saw the possibilities in Abraham Lincoln. And all the wonderful things that he did, how he made a difference. And then Dr. King, who was inspired by him, that rippling effect from him of all the people that he has touched and inspired that has made a difference in people's lives. And on, because of that one person, Sarah. And when I got back to the trolley, I sought out the tour guide, and I shared some of my thoughts with him. And he said, oh, it doesn't stop there. Think about this. He said, as I tell this story, I'm reminded that had the country not been united, we probably couldn't have defeated the Nazis and other things that have come up. So again, that rippling effect from that one woman, Sarah, continued. She changed the world. She changed the world. So I think about us and that we have that same power to change the world, to make a difference. And why do we want to do that? Well, number one, it makes us happy. Immanuel Kant, the 18th century Prussian philosopher, said that in order to find happiness, you need to have someone to love, something meaningful to do, and something to hope for, that connectedness that we have with each other. And then secondly, to realize that we all indeed are connected. That when we see those possibilities in others, that always reflects back with us. There's the story during President Kennedy's time when he encouraged us, we need to get a man on the moon. Or now we would say a man or a woman on the moon. And there was a reporter going around NASA interviewing people who were involved in getting that person on the moon. And came across a man who was standing in the hall. And he said, and what is it that you do? And the man said, well, I'm here to help get a man on the moon. I'm the janitor. And I thought how wonderful that was, that he saw what he was doing as such a part of the whole, that keeping that facility clean and orderly was part of getting somebody on the moon, that we're all so connected. Martha Smock, I'm sure many of you old-time Unity people have heard of her, was the editor of Daily Word from 1944 to 1974, a long time, 30 years. She wrote a lot of many, many beautiful things, but something I'd like to share that she wrote, and it was entitled, Listen to the Christ. And in that, she writes, you have the capacity to add to the joy and gladness of life. We are all an important part of life and are needed where we are. We too need a bold goal for our lives, and we will need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And then she says, perhaps you will allow me to make a suggestion. That's how she spoke. Isn't that nice? Will you allow me to make a suggestion? She says, today make God real in your life by seeing as God, by thinking as God, by moving as God, and loving as God. God as seeing the possibilities and the potential in everyone that we encounter. And then too, it's important because it gives us an opportunity to behold the Christ in each other, just like that song that we just sang. Knowing that everyone that we encounter has that possibility. Everyone that we encounter could be the next Abraham Lincoln. Every time we behold and support and love someone and encourage them, we are starting that ripple effect that makes a difference in the world, that can change the world. Isn't that wonderful? That by doing that, what a difference we can make in our own families, by encouraging and seeing that in a member of our family. And knowing that as we support and encourage them, that they will flourish. And there's a ripple effect in that, and it will move through the entire family. And the same with our churches. To find those people in this church that you admire, seeing the gift that they have, and encourage that and support that, and see how that ripples throughout this church. And we know that it doesn't just stay within these walls, but it goes out into the community, out into the country, and out into the world. So to know that we can wake up every morning and go, my God, I can change the world. And boy, we need to, right? I can change the world. I can make a difference. Because from each of us comes that rippling effect when we see the possibilities in others, in ourselves, and call that forth, that it does go out into the world to make a difference, to change the world. And every week as we gather and end our services with singing the wonderful peace song. And that's certainly what is that about, that it all begins right here, that the ripple effect begins right here with me for whatever it is that we want to accomplish, whatever it is that we want to bring to the world. We can change the world. Hallelujah. And amen. And now, one of the most important things that we do every Sunday or every time that we gather as people of Unity is to remember the one, the only power and presence that that is in the universe, and that we have a connection to that. And those beautiful words, that statement of truth that we say together, each and every time that we gather, I'm going to ask if you will affirm those words with me now. Together. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. God the good, omnipotent.